The Apostles' Creed is a marvelous statement. I've chosen it, first of all, because of its universality. It is something which virtually every group of Christians everywhere can agree upon.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we look at the opportunity for Christians to turn our culture around.
Those of us who have a biblical worldview have to recognize now is our time to get in the game.
And we share the personally transformative power of Jesus Christ in the life of our founder.
I rarely went to church at all, maybe on Easter on a good year, but that was about all. I had no real interest in spiritual matters.
See how we can transform lives and cultures on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Before we begin, I want to take a moment to remind you that this program is only able to exist because of viewers like you. In an age of rising socialism and sexual anarchy, we are often a lone Christian voice crying out in the wilderness, bringing biblical truth to bear on our culture's key issues and doing it in the secular arena. And just as a little yeast leavens the whole loaf, just a few faithful Christians standing together with God's help can turn a nation and the world around. So I want to ask you to please consider standing with us to help us do this vital work. You can contact us to give a generous donation by calling 877-962-7677. That's 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. And thank you. As we look around at America today, it is hard to avoid the conclusion that we live in an age where the church has been weakened. On today's program, you'll discover how Christians can again be the potent force they were meant to be. And we'll share a resource with you that will strengthen your faith for today's times, connecting you with other believers the world over and through all the ages past. And as we begin, the pressing need in America today is not primarily political. It is, in fact, the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you're about to see, that is exactly what transformed and empowered our founder, Dr. D. James Kennedy.
I grew up being sent to Sunday school and church, and when I got to be about 13 or 14 and old enough to make a loud enough squawk, well, my parents stopped sending me. I went through a period of about 9 or 10 years where I rarely went to church at all, maybe on Easter on a good year, but that was about all. I had no real interest in spiritual matters. I had never learned anything in church that really appealed to me or grasped my attention. I had never understood or heard the gospel. And one thing I loved to do was to dance. And so when I was in college, I applied for a job teaching dancing at Arthur Murray.
And he became a dance instructor and was quite good at it and became even a manager of one of the Arthur Murray dance studios in the Tampa area. One day, Ann Lewis came in, that was just one of the customers, and Jim Kennedy went into the back and told somebody, "I just met the woman that I'm going to be married to." Jim Kennedy had no place for God in his life, but one day in his early 20s, he went to bed after a wild party on a Saturday night.
And
any
I was
wavering,
sleeping in one Sunday morning when I heard a radio broadcast, and what had been music the night before was a preacher that morning.
Suppose that you and I should go out of this building and a swerving automobile should come up on the sidewalk and kill the two of us. You are going to meet God. And if in this next minute God should say to you, what right? And note my emphasis on the word, what right do you have to come into my heaven? What would be your answer?
Perhaps and so I listened, and for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel. I heard the incredible good news of the free offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and that how his death was the payment for my sins, and that he had purchased for me a place in heaven, and that if I would receive him into my life and trust him as my Savior and Lord, that I could be forgiven and have eternal life. Well, my initial response was that was too good to be true.
So we went to a newsstand, and he said, do you got any religious books? And he told me one time, I shudder to think now what I might have received.
What I actually received was The Greatest Story Ever Told by Fulton Osler. I stayed home each night and read a part of that, and the following Saturday night, I completed the book and slipped onto my knees there in my room and invited Jesus Christ into my life as Savior and Lord. And my life has never been the same since that day.
And he then went on to transform the lives, literally, of millions of people through his radio, television, his writings, and his one-on-one evangelism training that's gone out into all the world.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
The words of the Apostles' Creed provide a strong antidote to an increasingly anti-Christian culture.
The Apostles' Creed distills for us the essence of the Christian faith that has been held, believed, and loved by the Church for many centuries.
From D. James Kennedy Ministries, the book Knowing the Whole Truth, Basic Christianity, and What It Means to You will help you stand strong in your faith in a culture that wants to tear it down. In this classic book from the Deeper Walk series, Dr. Kennedy sheds bright light on the essential Christian truth found in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe that it was necessary that we once again declare our faith in the great central and basic tenets of the Christian religion.
His compelling stories, personal anecdotes, and stirring testimonies offer solid food for both the mind and the heart. Contact us today to receive your copy of the book, Knowing the Whole Truth, that can only be obtained through D. James Kennedy Ministries.
As you just saw, Dr. Kennedy's life was transformed by Jesus Christ, and then he carried that transformation out into the world. He didn't just rely on some mystical experience. He knew the gospel was rooted in the unshakable Word of God. I'm joined now by his daughter and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad knew that the transformative power of the gospel, when it was rooted in the local church, made all the difference in the world, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And, you know, my dad was not just a pastor, but also a theologian. And he knew it was important to get the truth right and just how vital that was. Humility is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. At the most basic level, our salvation stems from an admission to God that we're not morally good enough to save ourselves and that we need Christ to do it for us. And humility means that, as Christians, we are not inventing the truth for ourselves. Instead, the truth is revealed in the Scriptures and has been handed down and affirmed by Christians in every era. And as the Apostle Paul asked, "What do you have that you did not receive?" My father knew that the Bible had nothing to do with Lone Ranger Christians. Instead, we are called to be part of the body of Christ, unified in the truth. That's where the power is as God works in the world through the church and her members. Nowhere is biblical truth more succinctly and universally distilled than in the Apostles' Creed. The truths of that great confession of faith have unified Christians since the very earliest days of the church. A bit later in the program, we'll share with you a compelling book my dad wrote to help us know and apply these essential Christian doctrines to our lives. Here he is now with a portion of his message, The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty. That is the most significant statement that any person could possibly make. The Apostles' Creed is a marvelous statement. I've chosen it, first of all, because of its universality. It is something which virtually every group of Christians everywhere can agree upon. I don't know of any group of real Christians that could not recite the Apostles' Creed. And I think it's important in this day and time, with atheism militant and armed, that Christians let the world know that we're not a bunch of discrete and separate sects, but that we hold great truths in common. As Pascal said, in essentials, unity, and in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. That's a great motto to try to follow in our lives. And in this creed, we are declaring those essentials which we hold with a unanimity throughout the world. I've also chosen it for its antiquity. It's the oldest creed that has come down to the church. Though it wasn't written by the apostles themselves, it has come down to us from the very earliest centuries of the church, and therefore it has a great antiquity and therefore an authority that comes from age. I believe. Now, there are some people who say that they don't really need a creed. They don't have any creed. Well, of course, that is an absurdity, since the word creed comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. If anyone believes anything, he has a creed. And since it is not possible for a person to live his life without believing something, then everyone has a creed. Whoever you are, you have a creed. Even the atheist believes in the persistence of protoplasm and matter. He has a creed. He believes in something. The hedonist believes in pleasure. Everyone believes in something. Everyone has his creed. But here is the most ancient of creeds and the most noble of creeds. The Apostles' Creed is a condensation of Christianity, a distillation of the most vital elements of the Christian faith. In the midst of a century where atheism is rampant and unbelief is everywhere making itself felt, I believe that it was necessary that we once again declare our faith in the great central and basic tenets of the Christian religion. And that creed is a wonderful thing. It does not argue. It throws down a gauntlet. It is an affirmation, a declaration. It is a manifesto of a Messiah who has come to conquer the world. And of course, it should never be mumbled or even merely recited. To do it right, it ought to be shouted, asseverated, and it ought to begin with a flourish of trumpets. A fanfare with state trumpets would be appropriate, I believe, because on the great truths that are averred in this magnificent creed, men are called to stake their lives. And in fact, in various parts of our world today, men and women are doing precisely that. They are staking their lives. I would that when we said the Apostles' Creed, that you would pour your heart and soul into it, that all that come into this place might know that you really believe these great and dynamic truths. I believe in God.
I believe. As you have just seen, those are powerful words. When Christians come together in the one truth of God, they can move mountains. In a few minutes, we will tell you how to get some more of Dr. Kennedy's crucial teaching on the Apostles' Creed. But where does the church stand right now on this matter of truth? I recently had a chance to sit down with Christianity's most well-known pollster, George Barna, to take a serious look at the condition of today's church. What is the state of the church today in terms of its commitment to the scriptures, in terms of its ability to instruct the followers of Christ in acquiring a biblical worldview?
Now, there's a lot of different ways you can answer that question. One of those would be to look at what proportion of churches would teach their people that the scriptures are true, that they're trustworthy, they're reliable, and that we ought to be studying them. And as best we can tell, we would estimate roughly one-third of churches, Protestant churches in the country, would fit that classification.
Really?
Then if we were to look at the people in the pews, try to get an understanding of the public at large, really. If we look at the population at large, it's only 10% of American adults, people 18 and older, have a biblical worldview. But if you break it down generationally, we find that the two older generations, the boomers and the builders, people 50 and older, about 16% of them have a biblical worldview. If you look at the baby bust generation, the ones that came after the boomers, only about 7% of them have one. But then if we look at the millennials, who are the parenting generation of today, it's down to 4%. And so the tragedy there is you can't give what you don't have.
Right.
And recognizing that parents are one of the three dominant influences that will shape the worldview of our children, that doesn't bode well for the future.
Well, that's probably a revelation for many pastors, that they should focus their worldview education on the young.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be all doom and gloom. I mean, the good news here is that in addition to doing our national study with the public, we also did a national study with theologically conservative pastors. Now, that's a group of people that believes in the Bible and wants to teach from the Bible, so that we care about them.
Yeah.
And the good news is we found that 88% of them have a biblical worldview. It's not perfect, but I mean, that's
right.
That's a good number to work with.
Yeah.
So why isn't it getting communicated?
I'm sure pastors do, in fact, think that they're covering all the important things, but maybe they're just not thinking about it in terms of laying a foundation on which you build other elements of the worldview. So it's really basic Christian theology.
Well, and there was another study that we did a few months ago that ties into this that I think is important. And in that study, we talked with a group we call SageCon, Spiritually Active, Governance Engaged, Conservative Christians. These are people whose faith drives their life. We found that 90% of SageCons have a biblical worldview.
Mm.
Now, we did a study with them a few months back, and a huge majority of them said, I am virtually begging my pastor, when he or she is teaching, please help me understand how to think biblically.
Mm.
Now, this was in the midst of the election, and so they were telling us, you know what, I don't know how to think biblically about immigration. I don't know how to think biblically about terrorism. I don't know how to think biblically about war. I don't know how to think biblically about urban poverty. I don't know how to think biblically about taxes. Very simple stuff.
Immigration, all these questions.
All of them, yeah. And so they were saying, I need to understand how my faith translates into a way to deal with these issues. So then we did a study with theologically conservative pastors. And we asked them, do you believe the Bible addresses these kinds of issues? And more than 90% of them, for every single issue, said, of course it does. Scripture talks to all aspects of life.
So
great.
Why? So where's the... Where's
so
the...
are you going to teach people what the Bible says about these things? And there were only two issues for which more than 10% of our pastors said, sure, I'll address that from the pulpit. So we've got to have the courage to be able to stand up there and say, look, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm not telling you what party to align with. But I want to tell you, if Jesus were here today, here's how he would see immigrants. Here's how he would see people that are poor, living on the streets in cities. You know, and this is what we need to be concerned about. If it concerned Jesus, it needs to concern you.
The gospel includes engaging the culture with the mind of Christ. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them everything I've commanded you. It's more than just the salvation message. It's a, you've been saved, go change the world around you.
And the reality is that when you look in the pages of Scripture and try to figure out, does God even bother to transform cultures? The answer is, of course he does. And you can see instance after instance after instance where he does it. But one of the things that really impacted me in looking at that is in every case, God never waited until he had a majority of the people on his side in order to do it. He only worked with a remnant of people who were sold out to him. And I think that when we look at this unfortunately small 10% of Americans who have a biblical worldview, that's the remnant. Yeah. That's who God can use to turn around this culture. So those of us who have a biblical worldview have to recognize now is our time to get in the game. We can't take the worldview and be proud of it in our closet. We got to get outside the front door. We've got to use it to change the world for the glory of Christ. This is not a time to be scarce. This is not a time to be, you know, humble about the fact that, well, I don't know if God would really want to use me. He wants to use you. Yeah. And now's your time.
As George Barna just explained, it's a minuscule number of Christians who truly have a biblical worldview. A recent poll showed that among evangelicals who are ostensibly Bible believers, more than 50% believe that human beings are good by nature, contrary to the Bible's teaching that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 51% said that God accepts the worship of all religions. Ignorance of the truth, even among Christians, is alarmingly prevalent. Dr. D. James Kennedy was one of the clearest and ablest expositors of Christian truth in the past century. Nobody was better able to take deep and complex theology and make it clear and understandable. And that's exactly what he does in a vital new book in our Deeper Walk series called Knowing the Whole Truth, Basic Christianity and What It Means to You. How well do you know the essentials of the Christian faith, the faith that has been held in common by all Christians at all times in every place on earth? In this book, discover how the bedrock truths of the Christian faith help you live your life today in a world that is often hostile to your beliefs. Dr. Kennedy unfolds each declaration of the classic Apostles' Creed, shining light on each key Christian truth and what it means to you and to me. We will send you Knowing the Whole Truth as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or you can call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Illuminated by compelling stories, personal anecdotes, and stirring testimonies, Knowing the Whole Truth offers solid food for both the mind and the heart from one of the most respected pastors of our age. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $60 or more, we will also include the audiobook version of Knowing the Whole Truth on a 6-CD set, a powerful companion to Dr. D. James Kennedy's classic book. The audiobook of Knowing the Whole Truth brings the text to life and makes this vital resource available to you as you go about your daily life, listening in the car, at work, or wherever you go. Plus, we'll also include a 3-pack of our Truth in Action Q&A booklet, Did Jesus Rise from the Dead? Perfect to share with friends and acquaintances during this Easter season. That's the book, Knowing the Whole Truth, Basic Christianity and What It Means to You, by Dr. D. James Kennedy, plus the 6-CD audiobook and the 3-pack of the Q&A booklet, Did Jesus Rise from the Dead? As our thanks for your generous donation of just $60 or more to help us continue this vital work. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. In February, America's largest mainline denomination, the United Methodist Church, voted to maintain a ban on same-sex marriage and ordaining homosexual clergy. That should seem like good news, right? But the vote that preserved the traditional Christian view was 449 to 374. The monolithic, undisputed consensus of the church regarding marriage and sexuality for 2,000 years squeaked by in a 75-vote margin. And the United Methodists are the only mainline denomination where this battle is even still happening. The reality is the mainline denominations fell long ago, and it all began with compromising on God's Word. Disputing the inerrancy and the divine origin of God's Word led to doubt in the historicity of the biblical account of creation. That gave way to questioning Jesus' virgin birth and fully divine nature, and that ultimately led to moral collapse and the rapid decline of these denominations. Most of the so-called mainline churches, which include denominations like the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, have been in the process of caving in to the spirit of this age for decades, especially on matters from abortion to homosexuality to marriage. Thankfully, there were new denominations formed as these old ones departed from orthodoxy, founded with the intent of submitting to the authority of Scripture. But even in those evangelical denominations, there are movements that periodically arise trying to initiate the next wave of compromise. The need to stand firm upon ancient truth has never been greater. In a world that ridicules biblical fidelity and where Christians with conscience objections to same-sex marriage are punished, will we stand upon the ancient truths the church has stood for millennia? Or will we seek the fleeting acclamation of our culture while losing our own souls? As Jesus himself said, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The first confession of the Christian church was very simply this: Jesus is Lord.
He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He says that he came to lay down his life for his sheep.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.